Braxton.
What's going on, everybody? How you doing? What's going on?
I was barking orders. I was just barking orders. I need my son. Braxton, bring me your Taekwondo mitts. We got a guest on. I need the mitt for.
Oh yeah, where are my mitts at? What's up, everybody? I'll do the intro today. CC, while you get your mitts. What's up, everybody? It's Ramblin' Ralph, man with the promotions, ring announcer, and of course, it's my partner. She is the main event of our stream always. Of course, it's CC, of course, Nisa. She is the bomb, and of course, always in your face as far as social media is concerned. Always on top of the UFC. Always on top of boxing. Always on top of sports. Welcome, everybody. It's so good to have you here on a Friday, CC. What's going on?
Man, I'm trying to keep it together. You know, we are winding down our level show for the year 2020. You know, I asked for the mitts, right? Here's what they brought me. I need the pad, dude, the thing that you hit.
Them kids don't pay. Like, they don't pay attention. My kids don't even – they know what I do. My kids don't even care. They rather just have me take to the mall instead of really caring about what dad does. You know how it is.
And look, he had the nerve to say to me, I'm supposed to be in class right now. You know how often they interrupt me while I'm supposed to be working?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure.
But I got it. I got these. Ralph, why is it important that I have some mitts today?
It's important because we have probably one of the coolest, dopest guests that we've had on this show, and it has to do with those mitts. Sometimes when I turn my Instagram on, I have what's called the feature stories, right? When I go look for, or I go to the search button, and the most trending videos or stories or posts of the day or of the week come up in these squares. And yours was up there for a long, long time. Congratulations. That means the interview was banging. But I also saw something else in there a few times. It was this woman, mitts. And I'm just talking about like small one, two, I'm learning how to do mitts. I'm talking like full on, you know, Roger Mayweather type like mitts. And I was like, whoa, what is going on here? So I clicked on the video. It's a woman who is in California. She goes by the name of Camille Manalo. She is
Coach Cam,
a professional mitt coach. And CC, I'm not talking about like, you know, half-assed, and I'm talking about full-on, like grown men status. I mean, she coaches from small kids to adults. And I just was looking at the videos. I was looking at the inspiration that she gives in her posts, and I fell in love with this woman right away. And I was like, you know what? We got to put her on because people need to know what's going on with this lady. And if they're in California, anywhere near her, her gym after this show should be jam-packed, even though it probably already is, because this woman is phenomenal. I can't even do mitts like that, like this woman. I mean, she's amazing. So we got her. We got her here.
Let's bring her out. Ladies and gentlemen, Coach Cam.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, what's up, you guys? How are you? Oh, my gosh. How are you guys?
We're good. Fantastic. We're good. She's a little nervous, CC.
I'm a little bit.
You know what's crazy about Coach Cam is that she's nervous now, but
she's all business, man.
She's nervous when she puts these posts out to the whole wide world. And we're just right now, before we even start the story, our wonderful producer, Jeremy, throw me that first clip up. I want the world to see what I'm talking about, so don't think I'm bullshitting here when I say Mittmaster on our hands. If Jeremy is there, he could hear me. Let's. I want to show something here that's just pretty phenomenal. Because again, CC, I mean, I just don't know what to say. It's pretty phenomenal. And once he gets the video up, we'll stop talking. But. I mean, like,
dang, girl.
Yeah. CC, I'm going to let you start the question because I have a load of questions that I'm going to ask. But, you know, because this is your power right now on this show, you can go ahead and start off. I'm amazing. Like, I
well,
do.
It's obvious that you've been training for a long time. Can you take us on the journey? How did you get started? And what drew you actually to being part of combat sports?
Well, to be really candid with you guys, it was actually, I was in a really, really bad relationship. Just to put it out there, and I ended up wanting to take boxing as self-defense. And when I first started, I was like 115 pounds soaking wet, and I didn't know anything about boxing. So I went from training every day to wanting to fight, and then to now coaching. And I just literally, I just picked up a pair of mitts and I was like, let me see how good I can get this. And well, we're here today. So
how long did that take you?
If you guys, man, I want to say like a year. It took me at least a little bit less than a year to kind of get better at holding mitts for anybody. And it took me some time to differentiate between holding mitts for fighters and holding mitts for people who just want to do it to work out.
So. Yeah. How do people find you?
My social media. My social media is the biggest attraction to people. I have people from other countries that find me on the Explorer page. So social media is amazing.
I will tell you, so Ralph hit me. He was like, hey, we got to have her on. So I clicked on your profile immediately. It took like 4 seconds, like, yep, like as soon as she can. It's amazing the amount. It's not just the training that you have, but it's the patience and the tenacity and the accuracy because, hey, you know, people are swinging at you.
So,
Get hit by mistake?
I'm not going to lie to you guys. Yes. Yes, I've been hit. Plenty of times. I've been grazed plenty of times. My fingers have been bent out of proportion because I do mitts with nails and I will not take my nails.
Let me see your nails. Bring them close. Oh my gosh. That's the equivalent of boxing in heels.
Yeah. So I won't take my acrylics off for anyone. I have my nail lady on speed dial, but I can't even tell you guys how many times my knuckles have been. And like just from bending my nails backwards or my fingers. Yeah, it's been crazy.
Now, we've had obviously a pandemic going on since last February. I know that it's been really difficult to continue to work inside of a gym. Jeremy, instead of the kid video, I want to show a video of you actually working outside, right? Like for you. There is no excuse. It doesn't matter where the gym is at, whether it's inside, outside, on a tire, on a train.
Right.
Because you actually do mitts and jeans. You don't care. It's got to be done. And you're going to do it, right? So, Jeremy,
absolutely.
Try to show the video of outside, and that will explain what I'm talking about here.
Dude, look,
you have some dudes that are huge there, right?
Yes, I
some
do.
Guys
yes.
that are bigger than I am. I'm 275. These guys are bigger than I am. Do you ever have issues with getting hurt, or do you ever have issues with, you know, not being able to get that form? I mean, obviously, for someone that's coming off the streets and obviously someone that's a regular fighter, because you do work with pro fighters, how long is the adjustment period for you? I mean, does it take you a few months to get someone to that level, or for some people to just come naturally?
There's both. There's some people that they step in the gym. I've never worked with them before. They've probably only boxed like a few weeks, but mitts is normal to them. It's just in how they move. And then I have these other people who, you know, the ones that just like to hit hard for no reason. I'm just like, oh my God, please calm down, because I do have these moments where they hit so hard and I feel like my shoulder is going to come out of its sock. And I'm like, dude, like, this is crazy. But normally it takes me, I call it dancing. So normally it takes me a month or two to be able to have somebody be able to dance with me in the ring. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah, that makes sense. Cause really like looking at the clip that I saw. So a couple of things. First of all, it's an art. And I'm glad that you said it's like dancing because a lot of timing goes into it as well. I mean, you're choreographing this thing.
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
The other thing is I saw the jeans. I think you had like said they were your favorite jeans and I understand.
Wait, can I tell you guys that? Let me tell you, that day was my birthday. That was my birthday.
My
and
wow.
They were literally all the coaches and everyone was telling me, Cam, do not come into the gym. We are going to cuss you out. And I go, oh, so I'm out. I'm having like dinner with my family. And I'm like thinking in my head, what is going on in my gym right now? What is going on? So I go and I'm like, I'm just here to look. I'm not here to do anything. Mm-hmm. And then here I go with my mitts in my jeans on my birthday, like still working. So.
Hey, you definitely made it work. How's it going for you business-wise now? I see you have to be creative. You're on the streets, in the parks. But what do people need to understand about how the shutdowns and the restrictions has affected entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself?
Man, I'm not gonna lie to you guys. Business has actually been booming.
Get out of town. How so? So what you doing, girl?
We as a facility, we do make sure everyone doesn't have a fever when they walk in. People, you know, they got to come in with masks. But let's be serious. Like, this is a combat sport. We are not going to hit mitts in masks. We're not going to hit the bag with masks on. Like, it's so hard that way. But we do make sure we disinfect everything. Disclaimer, we make sure we disinfect everything and make sure everything is safe. But my business has been booming. I'm talking about, I think every 30 minutes, I have three new clients on Instagram wanting to get in this gym.
Well, that's because of the promotion that you're doing and the quality of your work.
I hope so. Yeah.
Hey, Ralph, Mercedes is saying she knows that feeling her poor shoulders. What?
Oh, yeah. I teach her how to do the mitts. The problem is, I try to get her to be a little bit more fluid. She be coming with it, you know, and by the time that this goes back, you know, we're teaching her how to be, you know, fluid with it. We're getting everybody in the gym. I'm trying to teach everybody mitts. It's hard, yeah, though.
I have, hard. So like, this is the Taekwondo bit that we use. This is primarily for kicking.
Yes.
But every now and then, like, so I have to, my son is just 8, so I'm moving it around for him. But like every now and then, like, you know, he hits the hip or something. I'm not a tall girl, okay? You know, I'm 6'11 on the inside, but flat footed, I'm 5 feet. So he's catching up with me very quickly. And so I do get tagged quite a bit, actually, with that spin and hook kick or whatever it is. But I understand, though. I mean, it's your wrist, it's your shoulder, it's your knees, yes, ma'am. It's your hips, all of that stuff. What do you do to take care of yourself?
So I do recovery. I have somebody that I do cupping. I make sure I get massages and I take cold showers and ice baths. So, because if I don't, there are mornings where I wake up and I cannot feel anything. I'm talking about I'm stiff as a board and it scares me sometimes. And a lot of people will tell me like, Cam, you got to chill out on doing the mitts with these big guys or just chill out, period. Because when you get older, this may not work anymore. So I have to start being creative. So, yeah.
Ralph, you ever get one of those ice baths?
I do get the ice bath. And sometimes I use I started using the CBD that we're doing for Champs Nutrition. We started using a little bit of that. We're going to start implementing some BioFreeze that I started using in my massage place. This girl put this on my back. I said, what the hell is this? I'm 42. I'm breaking down. She says, this is BioFreeze. This stuff is amazing, right? So we
what
don't.
What is that? Is that a cream? That.
We coming with some good products here pretty soon, and we'll talk about that later on in the next coming months. But you know, I'm a typical male. I don't need directions. I don't need whatever. Days ago, I couldn't walk. My back was so tense and tight. So I really need to start listening to Coach Cam. Mercedes put me on these Epsom salt baths too that I use, and those things drain me out as far as, you know, the water. It gets me really thirsty, and I'm not a big water guy, which I know Cameron would probably kick my butt for me saying that I should be drinking a gallon of water a day, especially with my workouts. I don't. But I know that you sometimes males and older people can get hard-headed. And when I coach, I like to start from the youth, because that is when they're the most vulnerable. They'll listen to you. They won't give you attitude. Jeremy, let's try to roll that clip. You not only do you work with adults, but you actually work with kids as well. And we're going to show these guys how you do that process, which is pretty unbelievable.
Get back to your face. Go one, hey, two, hey, one, hey, two, hey.
I mean, it's not just a typical, I'm just going to throw these kids around and let them play around like a gym. It is stance. You corrected her stance 2 times before that clip. I didn't want to put the whole thing in there, but she was shorting, you know, that her punches were real short. You were telling her to extend. I mean, you go from A to Z, even with kids that are that age.
Yes. Yes. It just takes a lot of patience. And I think what really helps with me is I'm a mom. So I already know how X, Y, and Z goes with kids because of my son. And I think they soak up more knowledge if you go through each step with them and you show them attention. Kids are all about attention at the end of the day. You can't just leave them running around everywhere. Like, I mean, you can, but not in boxing. So
yeah.
I like to let them feel like I'm, you know, this is one-on-one. And a lot of the parents tell me that their kids like to train with me because I give them that mom feeling. I'm like, okay, that's
cool. That's perfect
for me. So
that was a segue into my next question, because you are Filipina, and Filipina is like the Mexican culture. It is about nurturing. They'll take the little child and still treat them like they're 8 years old. It's just a habit that, you know, that those cultures have. But I think that's what gravitates people, is that you're a hard ass when it comes to training, but you also show them a shitload of love. Your posts are about inspiration. And sometimes, even when I try to do that, there's been some times where I actually need some inspiration as well. And even when we're having really hard times or a hard year, we still appreciate the posts that come from the Sportsnista, who puts posts out and is all about the equality for women in reporting, in fighting, you know, in getting equal pay, as far as being on the spotlight, as far as having, you know, a women's title fight on Showtime and DAZN, as opposed to not even being seen at all. And it's really appreciative on my end, you guys, because I'm a big proponent of that as well. Who's your inspiration as far as boxing is concerned? I did see a post up on Manny Pacquiao's page. You said, happy birthday, dad. That was actually birthday yesterday. I saw that was pretty awesome. So is that your inspiration? Is that one of your heroes? I mean, who else did you look up to, or do you look up to for inspiration?
I mean, yes. And he's not. I mean, people are like, is he really your dad? Because you guys look like each other. I'm like, hey, man, like what? But he is a huge inspiration to me. He came from the mud. I'm talking about from absolutely nothing. And for him to go from there to winning titles in 8 different divisions, that to me, you know, and of course he's Filipino. I got to stick with, you know, home. You know what I mean? So yes, he is a huge inspiration to me, 100%.
You mentioned that you got started really as a mechanism to, as self-defense. And how has actually training in general given you confidence? And what would you say to other women who are looking towards combat sports as a means to learn self-defense or maybe to build their own confidence?
Every single woman that walks through these doors or that reach out to me has different motives as to why they want to train. And I think most importantly, it does not, it has to do with how you want to build yourself up. I remember I had a woman, she told me, I want to learn how to box because I want to learn how to leave my husband.
Wow.
And I said, right, right, like deep. And I said, really? And then she goes, yes, because I feel like this is going to give me confidence within myself, which in turn is going to give me confidence to leave this toxic relationship. So it's kind of like it goes hand in hand. Boxing is the cure, I feel like, for anything that you're trying to figure out in life. It really is. And if you, or just combat sports in general, because it releases some type of energy that you're trying to find within yourself. That's how I feel. When I started it, I had nobody to turn to, nobody except boxing. And it helped me leave the relationship that I was in and really find myself and say, hey, Cam, you're a badass. Like, you really are a badass. And then now I'm finding it in myself to help other women or other people find that within themselves. So.
We are talking to Coach Cam. We're going to give you her Instagram in just a moment. Wanted to say thank you to our sponsors, AmazonRealEstateClub.com, the new way of doing real estate. What's your Instagram? It's got a bunch of M's in it, right?
Yeah, it's there's four M's. So okay. Coach Cam.
With a K. Four M's
in it. Yeah, K-A-M.
Once you put the second M in there, you pop up right away. You're so popular right now. You're not.
I wish you were like here. I wish you were in Vegas because my daughter and I would definitely.
Week.
Yeah, she's coming. She's gonna be out there. Y'all need to.
Hey. Well, you know, I'll be in this bubble. So, yeah. when outside fully open up, we will let you. I have my daughter is 6, and out of the two, she's the strongest one, just like muscle density. She's also the meanest. Okay. But I keep telling her she got to control her lightning. You can strike. You just got to know when and where to strike. You can't burn your own damn house down all the time. That's the only difference, you know. But I think that is very valuable for women to understand their physicality. Even like if you're in an office job, like training in combat sports helps you sit up in your chair throughout the day. It helps to strengthen your core. So later in life, you don't find yourself slumping and having back problems. I mean, that's something you don't think about till you have it.
Absolutely. I absolutely agree. Yes.
Coach, CeCe is a huge component of equality as far as women in the sport, as far as combat sports. Do you see movement, the push for these wonderful women with such superior skill set to be on an even playing field? Do you see that they're catching up? Do you see the network starting to pay attention? You know, you got PFL now with Clarissa Shields making the jump from boxing to MMA. Do you feel like it's now gaining more attention? The question is actually to both of you, CeCe, because we talk about this very often. I don't think I've ever asked you the question of, she's so deeply involved in MMA, CeCe, is that I should be asking her this question on a regular basis. But from both of you guys, what do you guys think? Do you think it's catching up? Do you think it's there? Or do you think it's not quite there yet, maybe on the cusp?
Well, with MMA, you got to look at UFC as really being like, you know, pioneers in terms of putting women on the main cards as main events. You know, Ronda Rousey was the first one out the gate for them after Dana had said he would never have women fighting in UFC. So you got to give them credit. I think everything else is still, you know, 20 years behind. We're going to close out 2020 and we did not see Clarissa Shields. Yeah. Like, how does that even happen? I mean, you can go through the resume, double back-to-back gold medal Olympian and, you know, undefeated, young, charismatic, can sell some tickets. So I think boxing has a ways to go, but I'm also wondering too, from you coaches that are, you know, there's other ways for women to be part of combat sports. If someone wants to be involved in holding the mitts, like what's the path for you?
I agree with what you're saying. I think with boxing, it is a little bit, it does have a ways to go as far as women being a part of it. And I know that this is what I'm here for. And I'm here to show this male dominated sport that I can do exactly what any male coach can do. And I'm ready for whatever. And I'm ready to pave acrylics, whatever baby. Way. In acrylic, in fake nails, I'm ready to pave the way to wherever I need to go to let my face and my name be known in a male dominated sport. That's why the other day I put a caption on my picture. I said, this is not a kingdom. This is a queen, baby. So Let's just let that be known.
And on that note, ladies and gentlemen, Coach Cam, look, I'm telling you, if you're looking for a little bit of motivation, if you're looking for a little bit of inspiration, just check on her posts, you know, maybe one or two times daily. It's really interesting, even for me, that I'm going to the gym every single day at 5 o'clock in the morning. Sometimes I'll hop on your page and see these 45-year-old women and 8-year-old kids and 50-year-old guys that are really big, kicking ass in there. I'm like, you know what? No, this lady is not going to be kicking ass and me just sitting here not wanting to go to the gym. I'm going. So you do a really good job of inspiring us, even some that are in the business for a long time. This isn't the first time or last time that I mentioned you to people. We're going to have you on again. We're actually probably going to do a video when all this is done, and we're going to put Cece out there to the test, and we'll get Jeremy out there. When you come to Vegas, we'll all do it.
Hey, let's get it.
I want to hear the hey.
The move.
Hey.
I've been kicked out of so many classes in my life. Let's see how this goes.
Well, for me, I'll let CC close out with you. I just want to tell you again, I appreciate you. I appreciate the feedback you give me and the messages that you send me as far as being positive. I love your work. I love what you do for the community. I love what you're doing for the children.
Thank you. Older women.
And just making sure that everybody is accountable and making sure that there is hope, no matter how dark it may seem. So I love you. I appreciate it. She's going to close out with her, but I want to thank you. I appreciate you.
It is with great respect that we have you on today. I will tell you, I was battling a headache all week, kind of like laying down and just getting through it. Did not work out, not once. Didn't even care, right? But I saw you today, and then we had you on the show, and no joke, like tonight I'm gonna do what I can. And I think that what it's all about is that we're fortunate enough to have people on the show who inspire little things and great things as well. I think you're doing both. So thank you for coming on. We've got your Instagram on the bottom of the screen here. Please follow her and support Coach Cam. We are looking forward to a spectacular 2021 with you. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. There she is, man. She's awesome. Tasmanian devil. Like, I'm telling you, the first time I saw her, I thought it was kind of like, okay, that's just one person. Like, anybody can do, you know, one person myths after doing it for months. But no, it's kids, it's adults, older women. It's short, it's tall, it's big, it's skinny.
Look at her timing, dude. Like, look at her. I forgot to ask Rob, how old is her son?
You know what? I don't know. I don't know. He's not
grown or elementary?
No, I don't think he's that grown. I'm pretty sure we'll ask him. We'll follow up with that, but I don't think he's that old. I think he's younger, but
like raising a kid and having to, you know, run your own business and risking your physicality every time you get in there to work. That's a different type of person.
Shit, but why wouldn't you want to go train with her if you're seeing these videos and everybody's hyped up and everybody's all cut up? I mean, of course, business is booming. Those videos are
right. She in the middle of the street.
In jeans, doing an eight piece.
Wow. Let's go. What? Like, I have all kinds of ideas in my head spinning. So we're gonna see her again.
Speaking of eight piece, this weigh in today.
Canelo.
Like Callum Smith was stepping on an 8-brick.
Yeah.
I didn't realize the height difference in this fight.
6'3", 5'9".
I mean, what do you make of this? I mean, they're first things first. I'm gonna piggyback on a couple of people that I was actually thinking this. I didn't tweet it. Rich Murata and our friend Raging Babe, who were basically like, hey, this don't even feel like a fight weekend. It don't feel like a Triple G weekend. Triple G's fighting in literally an hour and a half. And if you weren't looking at your Twitter feed, you would never know that he was fighting.
If you're not a boxing head, you would not know. Think about Triple G. And like, he was a phenomenon, you know, less like 3 years ago, 4 years ago. And people just forgot about him. And it's weird as fuck. Okay. It is weird how far he has fallen off.
It is. And I think perfectly honest with you, not throwing shit on any network, but the HBO factor is finally starting to show. I mean, if HBO had a doubleheader two nights in a row with Triple G and Canelo going back to back, you bet your ass for the last 4 weeks, they'd be putting promos and premieres on every single thing.
Yeah. Well, that's the, I think that is the consequence of being signed to a streaming service, because they are throwing their marketing dollars on that streaming service. So if you're on the app, I'm sure, you know, you're hearing about it. I know there's a YouTube budget as well that they've invested in, but otherwise, like, I'm out the demographic, all right? Female and above 25. So, like, I don't see their advertising very often, and that is, it is problematic. You got the biggest name, the pound for pound king, fighting. And when's the last time we saw Canelo? It was the Kovalev fight, right?
It was Kovalev. It's been over a year.
Over a year. So, dude, you know, we should have, like, this fight, I feel like.
I mean, don't even, I mean, look at, and you know, Eddie Hearn smiling behind the mask, because he knows that everybody's going to start talking shit about this picture. This is today at the weigh-in. I mean.
Canelo looks good, though. I mean, he laid off with the Tijuana steak.
Yeah, he looks.
You know, he got his ground turkey or whatever it is that he got.
Yeah. I still think, though, let's be real, I think Triple G has an easy fight today. I can't even pronounce the dude's name. I tried, like, and I'm an announcer. I tried maybe twice. I didn't give a shit, to be honest with you.
It don't matter.
There we go. Let's see. Our announcer, this guy's Srameta. I would have to ask.
I don't know if we pronounce the S. Srameta. Yeah. You know,
and that's really bad of me.
This
is bad of me because I'm really on top of my shit when it comes to all these fights. And, like, honestly, people were more concerned with my Triple G interview that I did with him calling out Oscar De La Hoya than they were about this guy fighting. I mean, that was from last year. I asked the question, hey, who would you want to fight for the biggest drama show ever, regardless of weight class? His eyes lit up and he said De La Hoya. So something had the beef that they have right now, something had to have gone on there behind closed doors. Maybe it was negotiations with Canelo. Maybe it was some money.
Well, you know, Oscar seems to be the type of guy that other men want to fight. So,
right? Yeah.
I don't know. Wow, this is a lot without saying something. But
it's really sad. I mean, I think that they both have easy fights still, regardless. I think.
You think so? Colin Smith is a plus 400.
If he uses his jab, he'll be able to make it through maybe more than half of the fight. Canelo, I think, is just too strong. Once he gets inside, back into the body and those hooks, once you get inside, a la James Kirkland again, I think we're going to see the same type of punch, knock him out, a hook, you know, when Canelo's in low. I really think that's how he's going to finish him off. And I say Canelo knocks him out in 8 rounds. And I don't think the Triple G fight, even though the guy's undefeated, I don't think it goes past 8 or 9 rounds as well. So,
yeah, man, one of them, Paul Brooks, is undefeated. So, you know, I do.
Speaking of which, there's another report now that's saying that Mr. Paul thought he was signing a fantasy contract, and we may not have that on.
It is a fantasy. It is all a fantasy.
I think Paul realizes he's probably going to get his ass worked and realize that he bit off more than he can chew.
Yeah, but I don't know how much the contract is for. He makes a lot of money. Let's just say that. You know, he does. But 15 mil at one time? You know, like, that might be worth, you know, the dance. Like, you know, let's see what you got. Listen, my granddaddy always said, don't write tickets that with your mouth that your ass can't cash.
Exactly.
So you go ahead and sell on Wolf tickets, like, if you want to. But I saw Michael Bisping today calling out, I think it's Logan Paul. I don't know which one it is.
Oh, they all are. Well, Fernando Vargas, too. Fernando Vargas, too.
The manager actually, like, contacted him. And really? So Bisping was like, hey, if you're serious about it, I'm serious too. Come get this work. I'm 42 years old. I never had a boxing match in my entire life, but I will whoop your ass. And I believe he will.
I've seen Bisping work out. He could throw hands too, man. Oh, like, he's not.
He's a professional fighter.
Of course, he's a fighter. He's good. He's the shit.
Back to Canelo and Colin Smith. Colin Smith is a plus 400 underdog. Like, would you just take the risk? Like, let's say you put down 50 on him. How much you win?
well, you're going to give back 200, 250 return. I mean, I put 200 down to win, you know, 1,000 back. Shit. I mean, you never know. You know,
if he
but nor am I. I'll probably go try to hedge it with a crap bet or a blackjack bet, and I'll be in trouble. So
listen, try to stay away from the casino. Tall, and he keeps that fight on the outside. I mean, it could be interesting. You can frustrate Canelo. We've seen that before. What you don't want to do is let him get on the inside and bang. And that's easier said than done. But that, you know, Kovalev actually was having success early in that fight.
Have you been watching the Ring City Boxing at all?
No.
I'm just happy that Lupe Contreras is ring announcing again. I'm not a hater. Mm-hmm. That man should be working every weekend. He's paid his dues. He's been in the game for like 30 years.
Yeah.
He's working again.
There's a lot of people who are like bouncing around. You know, you got Dan Rafael, who's now at Boxing Scene, and Steve Kim. And we just saw today, / Impact. We saw Steve Kim today being announced, being part of Thompson Boxing, but as ringside,
play by play, blow by blow. Yeah, which is not his normal cup of tea. But I think with him, Doug Fisher, they'll make it work. You know, it's a kind of a tag team. And just to answer that again, the question, who wins, I say Canelo. I think Canelo's going to knock him out. I think he's going to end it before the ninth round. And I just think that he's going to be able to get on the inside. And like you stated, if Smith can keep him on the outside, he may have a shot. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, it's
layoff, boy. So
hey, but it's going to be a nice boxing weekend. We've got Triple G tonight. I'm a watch. That's the once. Well, that and ESPN Plus. I kept those two subscriptions throughout this whole no fans allowed business. Saturday, I will be actually. I got to go like after this and get my COVID test so that I can cover the final UFC card for 2020. There were a handful of fights that dropped out. People didn't make weight and COVID. I understand Dana White is on vacation, but my question to him is, how do people test positive fight week?
I just think that they're having too many. I think there's too much movement. Like, I'm surprised. I know that he has a lot of fighters. There's a big roster. He has to fit them all in. But you should have super shows. And you know, one thing that – and again, I'm blessed every time I get to announce, but there was one day 2 years ago or 3 years ago when we had a show at the Staples Center, and there was 25 fights on there. And I had to announce 22 of them. And it was a long night, but, you know, Al Haymon does that. I mean, if he's got fighters that need contract obligations – he will make supercards like that. And if you're having UFC fights, you know, just this last month, I think they had like
every weekend.
Shows. I mean, it was just the Tuesday, the Thursday, the weekend, Tuesday, Thursday, whatever they were doing. I mean, it's a lot of shows, a lot of things to keep track of. Shouts out to that whole staff. I got Matthew Valenzuela, who used to be the Arizona Boxing Commissioner. He's doing regulations now. He's got his hands full. I mean, even my friend, the DJ AL3, who goes to Vegas, drives back to Phoenix just to go back a day and a half later and fulfill, you know, the weekly obligations so he can come home to his family. I mean, it takes a lot out of everybody involved. And it's just, I'm surprised there's not more, to be honest with you. I really am.
It seems like there have been more lately, which is unusual given the situation that you come in and you're in a bubble. They test you before you get into the bubble. And then you get tested again before weigh-in. So if you tested negative to come into the bubble, how are these tests? I know they use the rapid test mechanism, but those tests are more than likely to return a false positive over a false negative. And so there's, you know, I think, and I know someone has asked that. John Morgan of USA Today did ask Dana that, and he kind of got a Dana type of answer, meaning like he answered. But that you don't see that with Top Rank. You don't see fighters getting into that bubble and then they test positive the day of weigh-ins.
No,
that's
because
a real bubble.
The Top Rank bubble is a real bubble. Fight Island is a real bubble. Those guys can't even fucking open their door or their hotel without getting chastised. That setup there, they loved it. Even like again, I refer back to my friends that I have working in the company. I mean, it's real strict. It is super strict there.
Yeah.
I know that the hotel that these guys in the UFC are staying in, it's off of you know, I'm not going to say the street name, but I.
Oh, here in Las Vegas?
Yeah, you have to stay there. It's there. It's a, you walk outside. I mean, they do have a couple of people that are manning the thing, but I mean, who's to say you can't just walk out the side door?
Well, you're not supposed to. That, I mean, that's why I'm wondering. I mean, even, you know, the small part that I play, if I have early on, if I had to go, you get there at 6:30 in the morning, they test you, you go to your room. You can't come out of your room. If you leave something in your car, you're SOL. So
now see, the PBC uses a PCR test, though. It is more expensive, and I know the UFC is running a shitload of fights, a shitload of fighters, a shitload of training staffs, and you guys as well as media. But I know that my PCR test came back the following day.
And you get it within hours.
Yeah, see, and my friend Marcos took a rapid. He got a false positive, and he went on Twitter, pissed off.
Hot.
I came home, I tested three times. I'm negative, but yet I test positive right when these shows are about to start. That's a bummer for some people that you are going to get false positive sometimes. And it doesn't matter if it's one false positive and they test you five more times in a bubble.
Once
they don't give a shit, you're out.
But that's my point.
Robert Garcia's fighter last night, too. So
you are more likely to test positive, a false positive, than a false negative. So how are these fighters getting in and testing negative? In UFC, yeah. I just did a story actually for LVSportsBiz.com. They had over 23,000 tests this year and spent $17 million on testing all around the world. So early on in Florida, Las Vegas, and then also what they did in Abu Dhabi. So it was, you know, all those locations, but that's a lot of money. You're only talking really since May. That they've invested. It's quite an investment. There's no one else that's done something like that. So I think that there's some more questions that need to be answered about.
That's a lot of money on testing. And you know, their contracts, you know, I guess that's why I kind of have a feeling that if this continues, unfortunately, these guys are going to have to be traveling to Fight Island more often next year.
It's going to happen. Dana said that he is not going to allow fans in until he can fill the stadium. So until we actually see these locations, saying he doesn't want to go to Texas or any other place because he wants the whole stadium.
Yeah.
So
because in San Antonio, they were doing a good job until Javante knocked out Santa Cruz and everybody bum rushed no masks. And then especially, you know, Floyd is there. They run the mask off, trying to run and getting them. They're not caring about social distancing. It becomes really difficult to keep.
Yeah, I didn't even see Floyd with a mask on, as a matter of fact.
Speaking of which, I want to congratulate him and the rest of the 2021 Hall of Fame class. Girl, we got to get to that because this year they're going to do the 2020 and 2021 combined.
Next week's show. Let's do a show next week.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome.
Let's have a special Christmas show next week. I know Christmas Eve is Thursday and Christmas Day is Friday, so maybe before those days. But we'll have a production meeting, and let's run that. I'm from New York, upstate New York, and so I'm hoping this way this whole COVID thing is set up. By the time June comes around, I can go home and see my mama and them and catch that Hall of Fame. You going though, right?
Oh, I'm got to be there for sure. My friend Kenny Bayless, the referee, is like, you cannot, once you go one time, you will never not miss that unless you're not going to be able to walk or you're in your deathbed, because that is the most amazing weekend if you're a boxing fan. So I got to go. I was going to go already again because I worked for Shane Mosley, his last title fight. So I wanted to go up there and support him. But now that Floyd's getting indicted, inducted, sorry. It's Friday, man. I caught myself at least.
Ain't like it ain't happened, but go
ahead. Yeah, I'm gonna be there. I gotta be there for him as well because he does put food on my family's table.
We should do levels on the scene.
Yeah.
levels
on the scene. We should be doing, we're the only brave ones doing this shit live. I mean, there's other people that do it, but not like this. We're bringing in people, bringing in videos. We got Jeremy. As a matter of fact, bring Jeremy on before we leave if he's not busy, because I do want to ask him about this Canelo fight. I know you guys were talking about it yesterday, but wants to pop in before we let go. There he is. What's up, my boy?
What's up, baby?
You were talking about the Canelo fight yesterday with CeCe, and I want to get your opinion because I was bouncing back and forth. How are these fight? How is this fight going to go down on Saturday?
I think we kind of iterated that Callum Smith is definitely not a walkover, and it's definitely not the same as the Sergey Kovalev fight, because Kovalev was many years removed from being Crusher, that guy with the incredible left hand. But Canelo is the pound for pound best fighter on the planet right now. And, you know, to be the man, you got to beat the man. So Callum Smith, he's got to, you know, Canelo starts notoriously slow. He likes to figure his opponents out. He doesn't mind dropping a few early rounds and everything like that. So, but Callum has to build that lead up, and he has to use his distance. You saw that height advantage. You saw the, you know, the reach and everything else there. So you got to keep him on the outside, which is easier said than done whenever you're facing a guy like Canelo, who can close that distance, who gets inside better than anyone else and plays his game whenever he turns it on, man. So I like Canelo. I like him in the later rounds. I think it'll probably – I liked your prediction. Around 8, 9, you know, somewhere around then, you're going to really see him unleash – those vicious hooks that Canelo is so known for and everything. I'm gonna go with a finish around probably 8 or 9 for
Canelo. Gotta establish that jab early.
You know, he's got to.
We were talking about David Benavidez and how he's kind of looking on the man on the outside looking in this 168 division, because, you know, the WBC belt, he was vacated on the scales. Canelo can capture that belt and then really just sit on it for a while, which would really enrage me. But what's the path forward for David now?
You know what's so crazy is that I knew exactly what I was going to ask you guys yesterday, and it related to this in Berlanga, but I'm going to ask your question, and I'm going to get to your boy, Berlanga, because I know that you love that kid. David, I think he realizes not only did he lose an opportunity of a 2 or 3 year gap, that now Canelo can kind of stay away from him if he feels like it. He lost like $7 or $8 million in these last two fights. I mean, he was supposed to really defend these titles, make about $3-4 million each, and now that's gone. And I really think that Canelo will either stay away and or move up to 175. I guarantee you that fight doesn't happen. Even Zuriel Ramirez, who hasn't fought in over a year, who had a card, I believe, today or yesterday, and he has his own promotion now because he sat out the rest of his contract, he said that David is a faster, better fighter, and Canelo knows it. Like, They know what's going on. I think Canelo eventually stays at 175 after these next couple of fights and totally avoids David completely. I think David then will have to wait another 2 years to do, you know, an eliminator, and they're going to fight for the title again. And it's going to be a while. It'll be a while.
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, we kind of mentioned yesterday also that, you know, it seems that Canelo's in this belt collecting phase where, you know, he went up and he got Kovalev, but he didn't get Crusher Kovalev. You know, he kind of got the hollowed out version of him, but he also didn't, you know, to go into that realm and take that belt. He didn't want to fight with Dmitry Bivol. You know, he didn't want to, you know, those harder fights, you know, things like that. He didn't want David Benavidez. He went, Callum Smith, that's going to be an easier fight, but I can capture that belt, add it to the resume, then move on. I don't got to fight this other guy. As long as I can capture legitimate belts, I can move on, you know?
You know what's crazy about this is that he didn't start fighting like this or thinking this way until the DAZN contract. When you pay a certain fee every time, it doesn't matter who you're fighting. This is what happens when you're fighting the Rocky Fieldings. Not that there was anything wrong with it. And these other guys who, it doesn't matter who you fight, you're still getting the same paycheck. This is a mentality that now booms and blossoms.
That's the boxing business.
Yeah.
Yeah. Caleb Plant is actually somebody who has a say still. And I know that Canelo said that he just couldn't they couldn't get it worked out. Come on, man. You know, if you wanted it to work out, you would have allowed it to work out. But Caleb could call for David Benavidez. Who knows? That's still a good fight to see.
I think that's the fight of 2021, TC. Yeah. I've been bragging about that fight. They're both great fighters.
That's Caleb's the IBF fantastic belt.
For skill set. David, as far as speed and brawn, it's going to be awesome. That'll be a fucking great fight for 2020.
I would definitely love to see that. And I know they're throwing Edgar Berlanga's name in there. And they should, you know, young kid, knockout power. We don't know. Hey there, Karen Chin Adams. We don't know what Edgar has. Besides, but wait a minute.
Yesterday, I'm seeing this tweet, and I thought I was fucking, somebody had hijacked his Twitter because we had never, ever, 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 ever heard something like, you know, I'm the main event material. I'm top ranks, number one draw, whatever it was. Pay me that money. I deserve that money. I've never heard this man speak on that.
Right.
It really shocked the shit out of me.
And he got smell himself.
He got attacked for it on social media. They let him have it. The true boxing fans are like, wait a minute, dude. We love watching you. You're 16 for 16 or 17%, whatever it is now. First round knockouts. But let's be real. You're not fighting the top, even mid-level 168 fighters at this moment in time. Look, if you want to hype yourself up, fantastic. When we interviewed him, I thought he was cool.
He's charismatic. You want to see him. He should be paid. You, listen, ask for your money. Ask for your money now that they're booking you instead of while you're sitting on the sidelines. I just don't know what he has. He hasn't come back to his stool yet in 16 fights.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, marketing people behind boxers right now are kind of salivating at the fact because, I mean, look, if you're quiet and humble and everything else, you know, in the sport of pugilism in combat sports, it is not, you know, it's not for the weak of heart. It's not for the humble and everything else.
Right.
You know, whether we like it or not, the Conor McGregors and the Jake Pauls and Logan Pauls and people like that are running the sport right now. Whether it lasts for a year, whether it lasts for the next 5 or 10 years, that's where the sport is right now. You have Antonio Tarver. You have Michael Bisping. You had all the guys you guys mentioned earlier calling out YouTubers. Why? Because that's where the money is. That's where, and if you're quiet about it, you're going to be left behind. You're going to be fighting on undercards. He's young. He's good-looking. He's charismatic. Now it's the time for him to make money. How good is he? Who knows? But okay, I don't think he's worried about that.
Well, I agree with those two aspects of the topic. But when you go from I'm now a main event attraction, I want that money, and then I get money highest paid in 2 years, and then 2 hours later, you're saying I'm the most hated right now. They don't like seeing the young man prosper. And then the following day, keep hating. Y'all really going to hate me more and more if they tie my money. I ain't popping. Then
is he writing a rap song? He's hanging out with Fat Joe a lot. So now, like, is that what he's doing?
I don't know. I don't know. It's like
you got bars, man.
You're hanging out with, you know, to Tracy Morgan and the Fat Joe. That's fantastic. But he has to understand that whoever's really controlling him, they got to keep him in this bubble because you know what? Humble pie is a tough thing to swallow sometimes, man.
Oh, it's
if you're really going to call these big boys out, you better be ready. I haven't seen him take a shot. I haven't seen any adversity. Can he handle that? We don't know.
Right.
I think he's dope. I think he's dope, but
yeah.
It's fun to watch. I want him on more cards. I don't know where to put him in the division. We need to see him. But that's matchmaking. We talked about this yesterday. If they want to know what they have in Edgar Berlanga, they will match him with somebody who is capable of testing him. Right now, they're not interested in that. So
he's good TV. Yeah, he's good TV. Joe Tessitore, it makes him like you know, he's the next coming to Rocky Balboa, and that's what he's supposed to do. That's his job, right?
Right.
You want people to tune in. Edgar Berlanga. Oh my goodness! I mean, it's like okay, you knocked out somebody that fought in Tijuana like 6 months ago. Okay, I get it. I listen, I'm not hating on the dude because I told you when we got when he got off our podcast. I was like, man, he's a really cool dude, really well-mannered. But these tweets threw me for a loop yesterday, and I was like, holy shit.
Well, you did hear David Benavidez say he'd be willing to fight him. You have a Mexico versus Puerto Rico war there, and let's see what you really got. That's a huge step up. I don't think he can do that right now, but eventually
we'll know. No, we know he's got the power. We know he can hit, but can he be hit? Can he take the hits when his legs have been wobbled? Can he, you know, get back up and do it? Or is he, you know, just another guy with really great power that will fight bums the rest of his life?
He is a real dude, though, who really does like to fight.
No, and I say he's incredibly marketable. He's young. The Puerto Rican fan base, they're very passionate about, just like the Mexicano fan base, they're very passionate about their boxers and everything else. So, you know, this is how pugilists ask for raises. You know, they get on Twitter and they start going, I need a fucking raise, man. I need more money.
You know what? It worked for a gentleman by the name of Floyd Mayweather to talk shit to everybody.
Yeah.
They hate him and everybody paid to watch him get his ass kicked. It never happened. If they start taking this route early with them, who knows? Maybe by 2022, he's selling out fucking T-Mobile. Who knows?
Fight a YouTuber.
Selling out the Garden. We don't
let
know.
Let him fight the YouTuber. That's the same weight class, actually.
Speaking, you know, highly favorable on your boss. You know, when he was Pretty Boy, the hardcores loved him. You know, he was legit and everything. But it wasn't until he turned himself into Money Mayweather that he actually started printing those $100 million checks. And look, you have, not everyone is Mayweather. Look, you have a certain amount of time to get as much money as you can because these sports are so unforgiving. And we've seen it. We were just talking about Triple G, how he aged and no one gave a shit, like, seemingly overnight. So, you know, it's on these guys. If he can get $100 million now or $10 million now, that life-changing money now, you got to get it because you don't know the kind of fighter you're going to be at 30, 31, 32. So
we'll give them. We'll talk about this next year at Christmas time. Remember this one. We're going to talk about Berlanga, and hopefully he's already at that age where he's passing.
I can't remember last week.
Look, it's all marketing, right? I think now, you know, I'm going to, instead of being the sportsnista, I'm be the MF sportsnista. And let's just see what happens. 2021. Let's see.
Yeah. That's good. What are you going to do? Lose sponsors? No.
Oh, speaking of sponsors. Thank you to our sponsor.
Like a segue? There you go.
Amazon. The new way of doing real estate. It's real estate. Not just real estate. It's real
I told you about
estate.
This, CC. These realtors are charging 6%. I'm in the business. And if you want to save yourself some money, 6% on a $300,000 loan is 18 racks. You want to save that money, you got to hit these guys up because that's a lot of change you're saving. I still got to get with these guys and see what's cracking with them.
Yeah, let's find out what they're doing over there. And if you want to know what they're doing over there, go to AmazonRealEstateClub.com.
That's it.
I got Triple G. I got Canelo. We'll see what happens. I got them both 8-9 rounds. We'll see what happens. Triple G fights an hour, and I have not got a single tweet on it at all. It's really sad, but it's the way the sport works. And he's made his money. He looked ripped, but Mexicans for Golovkin and Mexican style, that shit is gone. And unfortunately, the fan base has left him, and we'll see what happens. And the sad thing is, this is his 21st defense of the title, I think, if I'm not mistaken. Like, who the hell does that? Wow. Like, it's mind-boggling for someone to even defend maybe two or three times nowadays, yet over 20 times this man is defending his title. It's sick. And yet,
yikes, Jeremy! I got Jeff Neal in the main event against Wonder Boy.
Oh yeah, Wonder Boy and Stephen Thompson. You know what? My head says Jeff Neal. My heart really, really likes Stephen Thompson because we got to spend some time with him and his dad, you know, years ago and everything. So I'm gonna go Thompson, even though that's probably not the wise thing to do. But like you said, you age quickly in these sports, and Stephen Thompson may be, you know, headed down the list.
Keep your money in your wallet on that one.
That's a push.
I still got some money I got to collect on Teofimo, though. That's the only bet I placed, like,
there you go,
on a fight.
You better go get it. Go get that money.
Oh, yeah, it's Christmas time. I need some lip gloss, as a matter of fact.
So we'll have our executive board meeting, and we'll figure out next week. But if we do not meet up again next week, I want to thank you guys again for a wonderful year. I stated many a times I was going to go out on my own and try to do this on my own, but I don't need to be anywhere else. You guys are fantastic. Jeremy with the Black Hole, you guys are doing phenomenal. YouTube on your Thursday and Wednesday podcast, whenever you guys get them in. They're phenomenal. The views are great. You guys have wonderful guests, great guests. And 2021 is going to be a hit. Even old Mike working behind the scenes, man. He's busting butt trying to make things happen for us. So from me to you guys, I love you guys, and I appreciate you guys very much.
He's our own little resident crackhead. We love him.
Yeah, man. Got to watch that kid. Got to watch it. appreciate you, Ralph. I'm about to order me some lip gloss and some hyaluronic acid from it's face stuff. Y'all don't know.
Yeah, come on. Erotic acid, huh? Okay.
Yes, man. What the hell is it called? Tofu tacos. Oh, yeah, I'm going to get some tacos, too, but I'm going to go cash my Teofimo.
Yeah.
All right. Speaking of cash in, before we leave, 1.6 million pay-per-views, besides every stream that was out there in the world, Tyson and Jones and Thriller made some cash money.
Jeremy,
I don't know if you heard or not, but I don't think the Floyd – we'll save that for next week. I don't think Floyd and Paul's going down. Paul just came out with a report saying he thought he was signing a bullshit fantasy contract. I think I told CeCe that I think he realized he's about to get his dick in the dirt and get his ass kicked. And I think he's backing off. And I really think that's what's happening here. And I'm sorry for my language.
Who signs a fantasy contract? It's a contract.
Yeah, he needs to go back to throwing fantasy water bottles at Dylan Danis for that fake ass fight they're trying to drum up. You know, he's off the edge of the map, man. There's monsters out here. You know, he's about to find that out. He's gonna get dropped in the middle. And Nate Diaz is calling him out, saying, "I'm gonna beat your ass for free." So
Fernando Vargas now is calling out. Who did he call out again? He called out De La Hoya again. So Triple G is calling out De La Hoya. De La Hoya, Triple G, Shane Mosley, Evander Holyfield. I mean, it's like I'm playing my Nintendo 64 Fight Night.
Yeah.
And everybody's back in this video game. It's fucking crazy, man. But
like, dude,
that's what's telling. That just goes to show you that there is somebody that needs to step up and become the name in boxing, because Canelo with the DAZN contract, I think, really hurt his marketability. It hurt his popularity. And some young kid, maybe Berlanga, that's talking shit now, maybe he takes over the sport. Maybe David takes over the sport. Who knows? But that's going to be a great year. And
we'll find it. Thomas Robb, women know what I'm talking about. Peter Thomas Robb, acid.
Whatever
your face cream. It ain't real damn acid that you just blamed.
All right.
But Peter Thomas Robb.
All right.
Hey, man. Got it.
Well, for the Sports Nista, Ramblin' Ralph, I'm Jay Long. This has been Love.